the coast. Travers Day in New York. And here, can you believe it, Toby? 20th running of the Pacific Classic, featuring a very competitive field. Quite a day indeed.
Well, that was a compelling race call from Trevor Denman for last year's Pacific Classic, only because of the fact that when Richard's Kid won the 19th running of the Pacific Classic, he labeled it as a shocker, and he was a big price that day. He wouldn't be a shock today. He'll be co-favorite, will Richard's Kid be, but we have a very competitive Pacific Classic lined up, 10 of them. You just talk around town to people, and nobody knows who to throw out. What does that tell you? I mean, nobody can throw anybody out with confidence. The only thing shocking to me really lately is what Bob Baffert seems to be saying about many topics, but we'll get to that much later on and not on this show, that's for sure, because right now we've got the man of the moment with us to open up the show, and I don't know what to congratulate him first for. Is it his birthday win last weekend? Is it what's going to happen today, or where do you want to start, Jim Cassidy?
No, we could start at the beginning. I've gotten over that hump with the San Clemente and the Oaks. That was great. Fabulous.
Hey, belatedly happy birthday. 65th birthday, winning the Del Mar Oaks. And last night, I'm talking about Evening Jewel, ladies and gentlemen, winning the Del Mar Oaks. Last Saturday, it was Jim Cassidy's 65th birthday. And you shared with me at the Pompamoose restaurant last night where you went in and ate, and I kind of stayed at the bar, watched the Padres lose a tough one for the hometown crowd. But seriously speaking, a few years ago, you shared a story about on your birthday, you lost the Del Mar Oaks by a nose, and you came back and won the prestigious Queen Elizabeth with the great mare, great filly, great mare, Ticker Tape. And this year, Jim, on your 65th, you got it done. Can you talk a little about Evening Jewel, the horse, Evening Jewel, the individual, and just what has been your experience since day one with this great little filly?
Well, you know, Gary Young brought her to me, and I liked her pedigree a lot, and I liked what I saw in her films on the racetrack. And then she got scratched from the OBSL because she got sick, and I talked to a client about her, and I really kind of liked her. And we wound up buying her, and he kept asking me, what do you think, what do you think? And I said, well, she's very straightforward in the beginning, and we didn't have any problems with her, no issues. She liked to train. So we gave her a race, and I thought she ran really well in her first start. She only got beat a couple of three, four lengths, and when she did win, I told them, wait till we start going long. She's going to get better and better. And then I thought on the grass, she'd even get better than that. And this filly has shown so much heart. It's actually incredible. And Mr. Brawley has been a very sick man for a while. And I don't know if he's going to make it from race to race. Never mind the horse. And
we understand. And then it takes you to the Del Mar Oaks. Well, first of all, you went to Keeneland, and you told me a story last night maybe you can share with everybody about the owner and his family and going to Keeneland for the first time.
It was the most fantastic experience they've ever had. They couldn't thank Keeneland enough for what they did and what they tried to do for them. And they even made a book of this filly after the race. It was a big binded book with all the pictures and the stories, and they were very impressed. It was quite an experience.
We're talking to Jim Cassidy. He's actually, well, he's the trainer of the Bright Star Evening Jewel, who won last weekend's Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, but he's also the trainer of today's morning line favorite in the 20th running of the Pacific Classic. And this gelding's name is The Usual QT. And I'll just tell you how amazing this game can be, watching horses just develop and turn into stars. I was fortunate enough to get to see Evening Jewel start out and actually sit a few boxes down from Gary Young, and he would always wait around. You'd make him wait an extra half an hour to see this filly, and he wasn't happy about that, Jim. But
no.
That's something I guess you'll have to talk to him about. Maybe work him a little. Although I don't know if you want to change anything at all.
I'm not going to change a thing.
Hey, listen, Jim. You're running in the Usual QT. He has earned his way to be the morning line favorite today in the 20th, and I just can't believe it, guys. 20th running of the Pacific Classic. I mean, I look at his past performances, and you know, the first thing that comes to mind is you're fourth in the Dubai Duty Free, and historically horses like English Channel and all these great American horses usually run about an average of 16th, 17th in that race. You ran fourth, showing that you belong in on the world stage. You came back off that tough trip. You won the allowance race at Hollywood Park, a classified allowance, and then you go into the Grade 1 Eddie Reed, which I thought you won very easily. Talk about the transition from this horse being such a good turf horse to trying the synthetic track, the poly track, today in the Pacific Classic.
Well, I mean, he's trained well over it, and of course most trainers will tell you it doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot because in the afternoon it is a little different, but... I felt that he would handle it. I thought he would handle it in the Sunshine Millions, and I think we got into a bit of a speed duel that I wasn't too crazy about. In fact, Victor said that morning he thought he might be on the lead, and I told him I didn't want to see that, and we wound up being too close anyway. He's done fine. I had the option of going to the Arlington Million. I was concerned about weather in Chicago and being rain. Not that he wouldn't run on a soft course, I just didn't want him to get hurt on it because he wasn't used to it. And I talked to Don Van about this, and he said whatever I thought was fine, and here we are. I still think he'll run well today. He can run well enough to win this race. I'm certainly disappointed if he doesn't, but... I don't see any problems. Really.
Well, I want to say one thing before we ask Toby how he thinks the horse has been training. You know, you look at the history of the Pacific Classic, and it used to be run on dirt, Jim, and, you know, you see a horse like Missionary Ridge. Now, this was a pure turf horse that went to the dirt, and I remember Bobby Frankel saying, it really doesn't matter, you know, the surface. Your good horse is a good horse. They train good over it. They'll probably, you know, if they're at the right level, they'll probably run good over it. You just made a legitimate excuse for his experience at Santa Anita. But, Toby, you've watched the horse train down here at Del Mar. Has he missed a beat? And how, to your eyes, I see a 50 and change workout show, and how to your eyes has he looked down here?
Well, you know, you never want to take a day for granted with the overall peak health of the athletes, the equine athletes. And all I can say is that right up till yesterday morning at 7:30 when he put in his last gallop over the poly track here, boy, he looked magnificent. He was so composed. And, Jim, one thing I want to ask you, because we've talked a lot about body language of horses and what young fans can look for maybe in the paddock or on the track, just to pick up on nuances and get people looking at the horse. The usual QT, I don't know how long, I want you to answer me two questions. Number one, has he always run with his tail absolutely straight up in the air like an Arabian? And I guess number two, what is going on there with his tail being straight up in the air?
You know, we claim the mothers, and I don't really remember her doing that. He has a brother at the barn, a two-year-old. He does exactly the same thing. So I'm thinking it's something in the genes somewhere. But he's always carried the tail like that. In fact, my good friend Jack Carava said to me, Jim, if you ever get that tail straightened out, he'd be a good horse.
Toby, what is your second question? Did you have a second one?
I've been wanting to, I guess he's already answered my question, which is, nobody knows, right?
You know what? Blind Luck does the same thing, and it kept me off of her at a two-year-old sale. And, you know, I'm learning to look for that now for potential grade one horses. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, blind and children, I hope everybody's listening. Blind Luck beat your filly in the Kentucky Oaks. And you told me last night you never had maybe a horse, let alone this three-year-old filly, Evening Jewel, training better, and quite a loss. I mean, to lose on the wire in a prestigious race like the Kentucky Oaks. But listen, we're not going to have all day to talk about this, but you are from the Bronx, just like my dad. You're wearing your Yankee cap. And, you know, Boston got within 4.5 after last night beating Tampa. And I know, you know, everybody knows you're a big Yankee fan. But what I didn't know, and I called up your biography, is, A, you taught students how to get on – be prospective riders. What gave you the background to do that?
Oh, we in the show horses.
Okay,
in the way show... back, yeah, it was just show horses. It wasn't jockeys.
It was show horses.
Yes.
And what I find interesting is when you did take your job at the racetrack, you worked for Joe Canty, then with Frank Whiteley. And it says here, while working for Whiteley, big horse in the barn was the Spectacular Ruffian. Now tomorrow in the Personal Ensign, the first great filly or mare to go undefeated before the Great Zenyatta, you basically, it's just amazing, but they compare Rachel to Ruffy and ever since last year. Tomorrow, Rachel runs against another Gary Young purchase, Life at 10. What a year he's having. But maybe you can go back a little and talk about Ruffy and was she as great as her press clipping said that she was?
Yeah, God bless her. She was. She was a fabulous animal. I mean, I was lucky enough to be around there. I had never had anything to do with her.
That's okay.
But she had a big screen in front of her all the time, big black filly. And she'd look at you, you thought she was, but she was looking through you. She was in another world somewhere. She was a beautiful athlete, and what she did, she never got hit. She was never headed from the gate to the wire at any time in any of her races. And
kind of the opposite of Zenyatta.
Just the opposite of Zenyatta, yeah. But Frank did a wonderful job with her. It was, I can't even, you know, I was a big Kennedy fan when I was a kid, and her happening to her was the same. I felt the same way about that as I did when Kennedy got killed.
Yeah, I surely get that. I mean, most people in the game of that time got that. We happened to see Tuscan Evening from the press box balcony go down a few weeks ago, and that was a great loss to her owner and Jerry Hollendorfer. Things do happen in this game, but let's talk strategy. The Pacific Classic, it's a field of 10. You were happy with the 10 draw that I read. A little Sinatra in the background. You told me you're a big Sinatra fan. Bottom line, what do you discuss with your rider in this situation? I mean, you break from the 10 hole. It's a long run into the first turn. Obviously, there's a lot of things to think about. Are you going to give any instructions? Because no doubt in my mind that you've got Victor Espinoza, who gave that just brilliant ride in the Del Mar Oaks. Are you going to discuss anything other than the weather when you give him the leg up?
Yeah, I mean, Victor and I will go over the same old scenario. I mean, it'll be nothing new. He knows how the horse gets when he gets speed next to him. He might get a little tough. He's pretty sharp this morning. but I looked for Patrick to go with his horse and then Temple City to follow. I was looking for a horse to be in the third spot, but obviously it looks like it's going to be me. That's about the best scenario I can get. I'm just going to ask him just to have as much patience as, in other words, when he thinks he should go, he probably should wait a couple of seconds longer.
Well, you've already got the mile and a quarter distance in the Hollywood Derby, and you've got this horse, like Toby said. I've been watching him every morning. In fact, I've got a bunch of video on him on my YouTube site, Larry Zappi, and I just think you've trained him to the minute, and it seems like you have the patience. I've read some articles about you this week, and you're really understand these horses. You're a bit of a psychologist. You're a horse whisperer. You're a great horse trainer. And really, we wish you luck, not just today with the usual QT in the Pacific Classic, but we wish you luck with everything you're going to do. And I hope you make it back to Keeneland for that Queen Elizabeth and get another win. And just before we let you go, talk about walking out at Keeneland to that infield to get that photo taken.
Well, when you walk out on the grass in the infield, it's I mean, you feel like you're on a cloud all by yourself. It's quite an experience. And like I said earlier, they do everything they could possibly do for you.
Well, that's awesome. Toby?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Nobody's really mentioning how much weight all of these horses are putting on today.
Well, should we worry about that, 124 pounds?
Well, I mean, I'm only putting on a pound, but this horse is in here putting on 7, 8, 10, 6.
You know, it depends how you look at it. I noticed that in the Kentucky Derby, they all have 126 and they're three-year-olds. And you know what? I try to make that the least important factor, unless we're talking the old days where they packed 138 pounds on horses. I'm just going to assume myself that it's not going to be a big enough factor, and the best horse is going to win this race. There's not a huge field here, Toby, but it's a pretty good-sized field, 10 horses. Everybody seems, like you said at the beginning of the show, has credentials to get the job done. You know, Jim, you think it matters that you're only putting on a pound and they're putting on that much weight?
Well, I think it was a viable question. I'm sorry.
Well, it's viable because of the fact that that's what we try to do on the show is we try to cover all the angles. We don't want to leave anything out of the equation, and that's why we're so fortunate to have you on today, Jim Cassidy, and Jerry Hollendorfer last weekend. You know, I'm out here every morning, noon, and night trying to scout the positive ultimate pulse of why horse racing in California can be the pinnacle of the world. And Hey, Jerry Hollendorfer last week, Jim Cassidy this weekend.
Hopefully we're the good luck charm, Toby.
Forget luck. I don't believe in luck myself, except for if they're on a horse's name, looking at lucky, blind luck. That's about it. But okay. Jim Cassidy committing to a life with horses. You didn't make any mistake there, Jim, because your future is just beginning, and we want to thank you from Case the Race Radio for taking time out on Pacific Classic Morning to join us.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank
Cassidy.
You. Thank you.
And good luck today. And we'll go to our first station break and our word from our sponsor, and we'll be back for the second quarter of Case the Race Radio.
The Padres play all 162 games here. XX1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470 and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Well, that is the Zenyatta anthem. We've made it her anthem, the strut by Bob Seger. And she's not going to be strutting her stuff today in the 20th running of the Pacific Classic. Instead, she's going to run in the Zenyatta, I believe, at Hollywood Park, the Oak Tree meeting, but that's for another show. Bottom line is we're going to have 10 nice individuals running in the Pacific Classic, and we'll try to break that down. But right now we're going to talk a little New York racing, Toby. Today they are running maybe it's called the fourth leg of the Triple Crown for a reason. No, the Pro Tem leader of the three-year-old division of the Colts is not going to be there. He's here at Del Mar training over this great poly track, and I'm speaking of looking at Lucky. But we do have a nice 11-horse field in a 13-race card at Saratoga today. And like the Pacific Classic, Toby, it's a very deep race. And we're talking about the Shadwell Travers, Toby, the 141st running.
A lot of history there, but, you know, right after the history, I know all that matters is trying to cash a winning ticket on the race. And that's all we're going to care about once that bell rings.
Well, Toby, we've got Dan Smith with us. He's just joined us. He's the senior media coordinator of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. He's been here for a long time. In fact, good morning to you, Dan Smith.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing very well. Listen, Dan, we're gonna jump on the Pacific Classic after we discuss maybe the Travers. Have you had a chance to look at this historic race?
Not a lot.
Okay, well,
I do know some of the horses that ran in the Triple Crown races, so I'm more familiar with them.
Well, you know, in the Travers, just real quickly, the number one horse is the other Nick Zito horse who surprised them in the Jim Dandy. He was second to maybe the favorite of today's Travers. I'm talking about Miner's Reserve, an up-and-comer, to say the least. And a lot of people give him a chance just because he's got that dangerous commodity speed. Any thoughts, Dan?
Well, I see he's 12-1, you know, so the morning line maker makes him a long shot. But Nick's got three horses in there, and it looks like, you know, 11 horses in the race, and so the horseman must have thought it was pretty wide open, that there was no dominant horse, or else you wouldn't have had this many in the race.
Well, I think like the Kentucky Derby, it's the, you know, a lot of people back there call it the fourth leg of the unofficial fourth leg of the Triple Crown, and, you know, looking at Lucky would be a prohibitive favorite, in my opinion, off his just monster race in the Haskell, and the horse that runs second to him in the Haskell, Toby, Trapshot, bought by Gary Young's brother, Steve Young. Looks pretty solid. I mean, he got the experience at a mile and an eighth, and the question is, can the son of Tappet out of a private account mare get the mile and a quarter?
Well, all I can tell you is that Steve Young is a very good friend of mine, and he was actually talking Del Mar business here with me, talking about next weekend, and that's how fast this Del Mar meet and how hot it's been here. I'm already looking forward to next weekend. We got the biggest day of the meet right in front of us, only because I got a little partialness to a filly running in next year's Darley debutante that Steve Young had something to do with. We're going to save that. But in that conversation, he went out of his way to say, make sure you watch my other horse, Trap Shot, run in the Travers. I said, I will do, will do. However, my own little handicapping angle, myself looking at the race, is that Nick Zito, like Dan said, has three horses in here. And the jockey, Jose Lascano, obviously, I'm going to assume, had his choice of who he was going to ride. Now, he's got Fly Down number 8, and he, of course, rode Icebox through the Triple Crown trail. Well, I'm going to keep it very simple for everybody out there and tell you where my $2 is going. It's going on number 8, Fly Down, one of the Nick Zito colts. And
who did look like he might have got a prep race in the Jim Dandy after his monster Belmont. You know, Dan, you've been watching races, and you're a bit of a historian. You're quite the historian. There's a guy, and I hope one of us can pronounce his last name, but Admiral Alex is the three horse. Kent DeSormo rides. This horse won at 1 1/8 first time out, Dan, and now shows up in the Grade 1 Travers. Is this guy crazy? He's only run one horse at the meet, or does this guy know what he's doing? Because he obviously, the horse is by a Fleet Alex out of a King Mambo Mare. I don't think distance will be a problem. Can you go from one win first time out, which you know is hard to do on the main track, and go to a Grade 1 race and be competitive?
Well, he's obviously not intimidated by the competition, so he's going to take a shot. And he's got Kent DeSormo, so... and. You know, Leon Blusewicz has been around a long time.
There you go.
How'd I do with the pronunciation?
You did pretty good, Dan. Okay. So he's been around a long time. He might know a thing or two.
He might. He might. Absolutely.
Well, the horse is in the race. He's got Kent DeSormo, who knows a thing or two about winning races, especially big races. You know, that takes us to Dale Romans, who's having probably for even him out of Kentucky, a breakout year. First Dude. He's a homebred son of Stephen Gotteving out of, God, Smart Strikes in like every pedigree these days. He looks like maybe... who's going to get the lead, Miner's Reserve or First Dude? He, too, might have needed the Haskell. Did not run bad at all. Just missed second. Blinkers go on, guys. So if for those looking for Ramon Dominguez and Dale Romans to pull this off at 8-1, First Dude definitely has a legitimate look. And, Dan, the five horse, a little warm. Jim Dandy winner. That's the major prep at Saratoga for the Travers. Third race off a little freshening. The owner and breeder, Edward Evans, was quoted by Anthony Dutrow, the trainer, saying, let's try him long.
Right.
What do you think about this horse's chances?
Well, he's a little lukewarm favorite at 7-2. So, and John Velasquez rides him. So he's, you know, he's got a chance. I was impressed with his Jim Dandy. I thought he ran really well.
Okay, we've got the 1-2 finishers in the Derby. We're going to get through this quick. Icebox, Super Saver. Super Saver, was he a mud freak or was he a horse that just needed the last race in the Haskell? It's a tough post 11, but he's got Calvin Borel, and Icebox gets the guy, Toby, and you liked Icebox in the Derby. That might fit him. The closing rider with the hands, Julian Leperu.
Yeah, a lot of positives there for him. Just in closing, why I do like number 8, Fly Down. I thought his finish in the Belmont was eye-catching. I thought he was finishing probably most strongly of all, and therefore today I think he makes amends. But, you know, we're here for the 20th running of the Pacific Classic, which has now become the staple, the signature, the brand of Del Mar. There's so much history involved with this race now in its inception, and one of the reasons we have Dan Smith on here this morning is to number one, give him the ultimate credit for having a lot to do with the name of the race, the Pacific Classic.
Dan, how'd you come up with that name? I mean, has everything to do with the ocean over to the left?
Yeah, it might have a little bit to do with the Blue Pacific.
It was very clever, though.
It was a big part of it. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much. Now, when you first thought of it and presented it to everybody, what was the immediate reaction?
Acceptance. I think the first one I talked to about it was Joe Harper, and he thought, yeah, that's a good name. Let's submit it to the board of directors and see what they think.
Can you believe it's been 20 years, Dan?
It's hard to believe.
It's very hard to believe, but I'll tell you, Best Pal, the three-year-old for the Maybes, winning the inaugural one over Twilight Agenda, and then, you know, then it became the Bobby Frankel Classic for a number of years. And, you know, we've had shippers like Bill Mott won it with Go Between. So a shipper's able and capable of winning the race. You've had great champions like Gentleman Freehouse, General Challenge, Skimming won it twice, Pleasantly Perfect. Dick Mandela has been winning races lately. We got a nice race this year, Dan, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just thinking back to when we first started, we actually had two finish lines briefly at Del Mar because the Crosby chute was not, we couldn't run a full mile and a quarter coming out of the chute because the Crosby chute was like 120 feet less than a mile and a quarter. So we had two finish lines, and I remember we ran a kind of an experimental race to get the jockeys used to the second finish line, and Eddie Delahousie pulled up too soon in the trial race, you know. But actually, Best Pal, I think if we'd finished at the first finish line, I don't know that he would have won.
Amazing.
Because Twilight Agenda, yeah, I think, was on the lead, and Best Pal didn't get him until the second finish line.
I think my money was on Twilight Agenda that day. We have Dan Smith, and, you know, he's a bit of a historian here at Del Mar. He's a senior media coordinator for the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and we're talking Pacific Classic with him. Dan, you know, we've got a nice field today. There's 10 horses in a race. We have a shipper from the Bill Mott Barn, which I mentioned, Go Between, happened to win for him 2 years ago with Garrett Gomez on. And I did not mention when I ran down who won this race, Candy Ride might have been the most impressive. And, boy, have his babies taken to all sorts of surfaces, including that Saturday a couple weeks ago where they won the last three races. Who says we need a you know, basically, a good horse runs over any surface. People argue, but I've always believed that. Last year's winners here, Richard's Kid. We're getting so much history in a short period of time, and this year somebody's going to make history again. And how do you see this race? Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're talking about Candy Ride, and he has turned out to be an outstanding stallion. And it's too bad he couldn't have run a little more, because I think there was a lot left there, you know.
Absolutely.
He could have won a lot of big races, because he was a very legitimate horse.
He was a very legitimate horse, becoming of any. And the horse he beat, Magdagliadoro. And tomorrow we have Rachel Alexandra. And listen,
sire of Rachel Alexandra, that's right.
We've got a minute before we go to the halftime break, but I just want to ask you two questions. Tomorrow, Rachel Alexandra against Life at 10.
Right.
Do you have an opinion?
Well, I think if Rachel Alexandra comes back to her form of last year, which we haven't seen as yet, I think she'll win. If she is a little bit not quite as good as she was last year, I think she's vulnerable.
What about last year, come Horse of the Year voting? And this is an old topic, but I just am curious. Who do you think deserved 2009 Horse of the Year?
Well, I have a standard answer there. I love both of them. I love Zenyatta, and I love Rachel Alexandra. It's like trying to choose between Ava Gardner and Ingrid Bergman.
I love that.
I don't want to make a choice.
Dan, that's why you are where you are.
Exactly, and Jay Privman and two other guys did a split vote, which I think if they would have made a split vote, it might have won, because everybody thought, how can you vote against either or?
Right.
But listen, we're going to break down this Pacific Classic. It's a competitive race. It's a wide open race. And I think there's a lot of value on this whole card today. We'll be right back. It's halftime, Case the Race Radio, and we have a lot to talk about.
The Padres play all 162 games here. XX 1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470, and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Almost blue. Almost doing things we used to do.
We're good.
There's a girl.
Hey, Dan Smith, you know who we're playing here?
Yeah, you've got some old Chet Baker there.
Almost Blue, Chet Baker. I heard you might have been a fan. I know you're a jazz aficionado.
Yeah, he was my idol growing up.
And I just liked the title, and I didn't know if this was going to be one of your favorites, but when I'm trying to put everybody to sleep, it just has a nice, smooth sound to it.
Well, this was near the end of his career.
Near the end of his career, and it had the most hits on YouTube, so I assumed a lot of people liked the song, so I went with it. Toby,
okay, cool.
We're talking Pacific Classic. Toby, you're probably you've watched everybody virtually train into this. You even saw the Jeff Mullins, and that's who we're going to start with. You saw him on the track yesterday. Battle of Hastings. Do we use him? We're going to go over the pick four with Donald Harris when he comes on later in the show, but do we use Battle of Hastings, or do we feel like maybe he's a little bit of an outsider?
Well, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks and you're going to go out and say something that a horse doesn't have a chance to win the race, I'll always reflect back to what my grandfather said, and that is absolutely never, ever do that, because the only time you do that is when the horse is retired. So I know everybody doesn't like that answer, but I've learned to be a little bit of a have a way with words, like our senior correspondent here, Dan Smith, and for good reason. You know, the last thing in the world you want somebody to do is like a horse and then not bet it, you know, because you say it's got no chance. However, that is the beauty of this year's 20th running of the Pacific Classic, is that when you do some real hardcore soul searching, you really think long and hard before you say any one of these 10 horses doesn't have a chance to win the race. And I mean that after watching them all closely under a microscope. Maybe there's one or two that I'd be shocked over if they actually pulled it off. Battle of Hastings is a horse that you have to give a chance to because of his last race here over the track.
Dan, he got that important race over the track. You know, he's trying to get a mile and a quarter. He did run second to the usual QT in the Hollywood Derby. He took to the Poly track. He's training at Hollywood Park. Jeff Mullins, not one of his best meets. He hasn't even won a race here. Is this a horse you can make a case for, Dan?
Well, you know, Jeff didn't. I don't think Jeff really wanted to run this horse because he thought it was too quick back. And, you know, he had that opinion for a reason. So it's hard for me to like the horse if the trainer didn't really want to run.
Definitely makes sense. So we've got Isle of Giants, who's a long shot in this race, but he's got P-Val, and there's a very good chance, Toby and Dan, he's going to the lead. P-Val Factor, he's riding to win every race. Can either one of you guys, and jump in if you have anything to say, can you make a case for this long shot?
He's 30 to 1 for a reason, and I have a hard time making a case for him.
Toby?
You know, all I can say is the horse is really thriving. And on top of that, he is a big, gorgeous-looking gelding. He is not short in the size and leg department. Just on pure size, I hate to toss him. However, on form, like Dan said, it's awfully hard to justify, even with P-Val and all, seeing him win the race.
He won a 25 non-winners two lifetime, three races back. And if he could win the Pacific Classic, that's going to be a... You know, upset once beat Man of War, and that's why they call it an upset. Dan, Dakota Phone, Jerry Hollendorfer was on our show last week. He won the Alabama with Blind Luck. What a job he did with the mare we lost, Tuscan Evening. He's got Dakota Phone, maybe at the peak of his career. He's by a Sprinter Zabata, but he's out of a Spinning World mare. He ran a good race in the Big Cap back in March. He actually made a menacing move and maybe hung a little because the distance might have been too much. I don't know. What are your thoughts about Dakota Phone?
Well, he's going to come from way out of it, so the pace scenario has to be to his liking, I think, a little bit. And he's 2 for 2 on this synthetic racetrack, so you have to say he likes the track. I think he has a chance.
Chance? Toby, what about you?
I give him a big chance, actually. He's a must-use for me. In fact, when you look at the odds, a lot of people just like to throw their $2 maybe on the longest price of whoever they like. With that theory, this would be where my $2 goes on Dakota Phone, only because of the fact, well, there's two big reasons. Number one, his last win over the track here in the San Diego was, you know, I couldn't even count how wide he was. This race is named the Pacific Classic with the ocean. I think he was out at the ocean coming around the turn. You do not get up and still win graded stakes races after going that wide, and he did. Now, I would worry that he ran too big in the San Diego, but that's where it gets exciting for me, because Dakota Phone, this guy just goes out there and goes through the motions when he's working out in the morning. He didn't do that in his last workout. In his last workout, he had a look to him like, you know what, I'm coming into myself, and I'm 5 years old. And Dan Ward, Jerry Hollendorfer's assistant, who we mentioned last week on the show, he might have hit it right on the head. Look what happened. They took the blinkers off of this horse. Maybe that's what did it, but Dakota Phone gets $2 from
me. And he's got Joel Rosario, who might be the best finisher since Pink Eye. I have a hard time thinking he can get the mile and a quarter, and I think we saw that in the Big Cap, so he wins without me. I won't say they're going to have to carry him from the eighth ball home. You like him, you use him. I'm going to have to try to beat him. Temple City guys, Bejarano, he's caught Rosario in the jockey standings. He's riding unbelievable. This has been James Cassidy, who we had on the show to start the show, and Carla Gaines meets. This horse has really developed as a five-year-old. What a gut-wrenching loss in the American Handicap to Global Hunter. And then last time, he just showed his affinity for this track. And he won with something in reserve, but he did it with a slow pace. He's a beautiful black horse, and he's by Dynaformer out of a Danzig mare. Now, if you want to talk about having the pedigree and getting the distance, and Spendthrift Farm and B. Wayne Hughes, you'd love to see that guy win a big race here in California. He is my top selection. I just think if he doesn't get the lead from P-Val, he'll sit right where he needs to. I like this horse. He's coming into the race with a bullet workout. I guess I'm just giving him the double thumbs up. How about you, Dan?
Well, you know, he won the Cougar from wire to wire with a really slow pace. I think they went the half and 50, and it was just a walking pace. He's not going to get that today. The question is, how fast or how slow can he go, or how fast can he go and still win? The pace in this race is a little fuzzy. I know he's going to probably want to go to the lead. It seems like that's what he does. So it's going to be a matter of if Raphael can slow him down enough to have something to finish with.
What about you, Toby? You've watched him train.
Well, I am not a numbers guy at all. However, in this case, numbers might matter, because if you break down his last race, he went to the mile in 1:41.4. Now, just so everybody understands, what is it? A length is the Dakota Phone went to the mile in 1:37.1. So how many lengths is that, Dan Smith? 1:37.1 mile to a 1:41.4 mile.
Well, it's 20 lengths, or, you know, well, 4 seconds,
you know,
20 lengths.
The thing I got to say, Toby, is last year the Del Mar Handicap on the grass, this horse ran a 35.3 mile and just got out finished. You know, it doesn't sound like he's your cup of tea.
Well,
let
me just put it to you this way. I think the key with Temple City is last time he got a cruising, easy cruising, slow, everything about it. Now, horses a lot of times can relax beautifully when they get that. Temple City will not get that today. If he can do this again, where he can relax like that, not be affected, not get ranked, not pull when the competition comes, then he could be very dangerous.
Okay, then we've got the usual suspect. Barry Abrams has basically told us he's pretty sure he's going to scratch. We don't know that, so we're not telling you to scratch him out. He's in tomorrow's Del Mar big race on the turf down here, the Del Mar Handicap. He thinks the numbers tell him the horse can win tomorrow, Dan.
I just saw Barry up in the press box 10 minutes ago, and he said he's going to run today.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Dan Smith says, and I love the way this guy's training down here, guys, and I think you don't leave him out of your super. If he doesn't run today, you know, Mary might want to go hit some food upstairs, Dan, and he's already paid for it. But we'll find out sometime this afternoon. If he's not in today, he's in tomorrow. Toby, he's looked as healthy and as sound as any horse we've seen down here, and that's a testament to the sire and usual heat and to Barry Abrams' program, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. But my question is, for him winning today, is how does he turn the tables on Temple City, you know, over what just happened here a couple of weeks ago? That'd be my question.
Well, he beat Richard's Kid last time, and he beat Richard's Kid a year ago in the Cougar. Maybe it's the distance, but Toby, Richard's Kid is a horse you've watched train for quite some time. I've watched him ever since he beat the best horse I ever bought, Bulls Bay, and I think he's a legitimate horse. Do you think he can repeat just like Skimmin did a couple years ago?
I think he can. You know, my confidence level a month and a half, 2 months ago watching this horse train at Santa Anita was sky high. He looked like dynamite on the racetrack. Now he still looks extra strong, but he doesn't quite have that same dynamite look to him. But with all that said, he still does dynamite things in the morning, which show that he can repeat. I believe he can repeat, and it's an interesting jockey switch here. Mike Smith, going back to last year, rode him for the big upset, and Mike Smith, the Hall of Fame rider, gets back into the saddle today for one of the only quote I'm going to make from Bob Baffert is that I can actually be entertained by is that he's counting on the Hall of Fame ride from Mike Smith to win the race.
Dan, he's got three bullets in the holster. He's going a mile and a quarter. I don't know if 5/8 bullets matter, but I understand one of his workouts, he went out in 24 and change. He won the race last year. What's your thoughts of Richard's Kid today?
He's my top pick. He is the horse that I think has fewer questions. He's proven at the distance. He had a good prep in the Cougar, which same route he took last year to win it. And I think he loves the track, and he's trained well coming up to it.
That's good.
He's the horse that I think has fewer questions.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. It's also his third race after going to Dubai, and that really, he should be totally acclimated by now. Listen, guys, hold me back. is a horse that's a Polytrack freak. He's won at three different Polytracks, Arlington, Turfway, Woodbine. He was second in the Bluegrass at Keeneland on the Polytrack. So Bill Mott's no dummy. He's a Hall of Famer, and he brought this horse in the other day, and I've watched him personally for 3 days, videotaped him, put it on the YouTube. Bottom line is there could not be a horse training any better. The only question I ask, A, he's already proven he can get the distance. He just won it 1.25 miles. B, Dan Smith, is he of the quality to take on these grade one horses?
Well, that is obviously the big question, and they're counting on his affinity for a synthetic track to come here. But like you say, Billy Mott is no dummy, and he got Garrett Gomez to come here and ride the horse too.
And Garrett Gomez knows a thing or two about winning the Pacific Classic. Your thoughts, Toby?
Well, I actually, this was my choice to win the Kentucky Derby back when he ran in the Derby that year, and watched him train at Churchill Downs. He's a very magnificent horse just to look at. In fact, encourage everybody to come down to the paddock. If you want to see a beautiful animal, just take a look at Hold Me Back. He's actually got the same kind of Zenyatta look to him. Big, gorgeous black horse.
Little and, lighter made, but...
Unless you got a very acute eye like yourself, you're not going to know that. Hold Me Back, my biggest question with him is the distance. I'm just not sure that he peaks against this caliber horse at 1.25 miles.
Interesting. Listen, Crowded House is the other Cecil. He was fourth behind the usual QT. I mean, let's just pass over him, and you guys can jump in if you want. Nakatani Rides, it's the other Cecil. I just don't see it, and we don't have the time. Number 9, Awesome Gem, 7 years old. What is this, his fourth Pacific Classic, Dan Smith?
Right.
And he won the Hollywood Gold Cup coming into this race.
Right, he did, and they're talking about him like he's never been better, like he's much more willing, you know. He was always a little bit...
lazy, maybe?
Had something lazy, a little something in reserve, but... The way the connections are talking about him, he's much more generous now. He trains better. He goes out in the morning. He does everything right. I'm not so sure about him, though, but Craig DeLassie is not so sure about him on this racetrack. He says that Awesome Gem likes the Hollywood Park synthetic track better than the one down here. So that's a reservation I have about him.
Well, you know, he finishes, like, when he runs against really good horses in the Breeders' Cup, like Curlin or Zenyatta, he loses to them by 6 or 8. Are we just down a little in overall quality without a Zenyatta in this race, Dan Smith?
I think it's a wide-open race. I think it's a great betting race. I think there's some really nice horses in here. There are no Zenyattas, though.
Everybody out there, if you want to get somewhere in life, you listen to Dan Smith with these answers, because you will not offend one person. And I'm taking notes, because, Dan, that's the best answer I ever heard in my life. Toby Terrell.
I should be a politician.
Yes, you should. Toby Terrell, Awesome Gem, right into the usual QT.
Well, some things show right on paper. Craig DeLassie is, you know, the horse is 0-5 here at Del Mar, but I would say it's not the racetrack. I'd say it's the fact that when he wins, he kind of runs slower than this race historically will run, so he's got to speed it up.
What about the usual QT, Toby?
Usual QT is a magnificent horse that's coming into his own now, and I'll tell you what, Jim Cassidy, I was shocked to hear he was 65 years old in the Winner's Circle last weekend. I'll tell you, he has developed these stars in an exciting way.
The way
the usual QT looked yesterday on the track was just a sight to see, and he will run a big race.
Dan Smith, he's won 8 out of 10 races. He's unproven outside the turf. Do you give him a shot? He's the morning line favorite.
Oh, I think he's got a shot for sure. He's 0-5 on the synthetic tracks. I have a question about his workouts. You know, one was too slow, and then he worked in 58 last Monday, and I wonder if that was... Now, you guys probably saw that workout, and I didn't. Yeah. How was the work?
The work is strong because of the fact that I don't really care how fast the horses work in the morning myself, but I do care about their rhythm, their action, their composure, their presence. And the usual QT, that answers all the questions.
The gallops have been strong, and, you know, he's the morning line favorite because he's becoming a crowd favorite, as is Jim Cassidy. And Dan Smith, bottom line is, you like who in the 20th running of the Pacific Classic?
Richard's Kid, I think, is a solid horse.
Toby?
I agree with Dan. Let's hope it's that easy.
Okay, and I'm going with Temple City slightly over Hold Me Back. It's wide open. We can get 4 more experts on here, and they're all over the racetrack. Bottom line is, show up today wherever you are, ladies and gentlemen. Get in your car now. Listen to the last quarter of Case the Race Radio, and show up at Del Mar. We have a great card today, Dan Smith.
Absolutely. You got the Pat O'Brien, which is a Grade One. You have the Del Mar Mile. Really good card.
It's a really
11 races.
We have Lava Man's brother enriched in that race.
Yes.
I was talking to some of his owners, right. And they're very excited with Rosario on the horse. Listen, it's been our pleasure having you on
Thank
Case
you.
The Race today.
Well, thanks very much.
And, you know,
enjoyed
keep,
it.
Keep the peace. And we'll have you back very soon, I'm sure. And,
anytime.
Just
anytime.
Enjoy your Pacific Classic Day. And congratulations for naming this great race. And 20th running.
How about that?
We're going to our third station break and a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back for the late pick four and that young phenom of a clocker, Donald Harris.
The Padres play all 162 games here. Double X 1090.
How would you like an extra $100 to wager on the races this summer? Just open a brand new DelmarBets.com account and wager $100. The very next day, we'll deposit $100 to your account. That's it. Easy as a cool coastal breeze. DelmarBets.com, powered by ExpressBet, is the best way to play the races online and by phone. Play hundreds of harness and thoroughbred tracks all year long from the comfort of your home, office, or wherever you happen to be. And unlike other legal wagering services, DelmarBets.com charges no membership, monthly, or per wager fees. Open a DelmarBets.com account today, online or by phone, at 800-235-9470 and get your $100 wagering credit. Visit DelmarBets.com for complete details and use promo code DMVRadio. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Welcome back to Case the Race Radio. This will be the lightning round, and that's Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, because these thoroughbreds are born to run. And you know what? We got to work quickly, guys. We had a lot to talk about today. Donald Harris, are you with us?
I am, boys. It's a great day. And let me first start off with Little Jeopardy. Whoever gets this gets the question right wins a $5 voucher. I'm going to start naming the answer here. We got Camp Victory Key, an $1,100 super. Horse at Saratoga called P-High at $28. Cali Vista to round it all out. Plus Conaher, Liberian Freighter earlier in the week. Can you give me the question that solves that Jeopardy?
Who is behind National Select on Case the Race Radio? And that is a thank you, Donald. It's been a great week for National Select. Even on DMTC.com, I've given out four straight winners since the Brand Jammers win on Sunday in the Solana Beach. And one day, ladies and gentlemen, I will be the mayor of Solana Beach. And that's right, that's me, Larry Zapp. Donald, thank you very much. And everybody go to CaseTheRace.com. Today's the day you buy National Select. Today's the day you buy SoCalWorks. They have so much information, Toby and Donald do, on SoCalWorks. It has just been a phenomenal product, as has National Select. Buy it every day because you never know when it's going to be your day. And if you're trying to hit vertical exotics and like $1,500 superfectors, you got to go there. And if you want answers to your handicapping holes, it's the morning workouts, the SoCalWorks from Toby Terrell and Donald Harris. Donald, we got so much to talk about. Zenyatta, she worked this week. How does she look, buddy?
She looks fine. Worked a really easy half mile, kind of a do-nothing half. She had her ears pricked, so she's feeling good.
God, you're good.
All positive.
Good. Excellent. Listen, Donald, we just went over the Pacific Classic, which starts the late pick four. You heard all our thoughts. What are your thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on the chalky side. Richard's Kid, I think, is the horse to beat. I agree with Toby. The Usual QT, I think, is the most talented horse in the race. I just question whether he can do it not on grass, because he really hasn't proven that yet. And then just from a biased perspective, I love Battle of Hastings because he's just such a pure heart horse, so I got to use him. But I'm thinking four deep, Battle of Hastings, Richard's Kid, The Usual QT, and Dakota Phone.
You're just leaving my Temple City and hold me back right on the ground. That's fair enough. Everybody's got an opinion. Astrid, the camera girl from the Del Mar Paddock, you were with us last week. You just joined us. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. We don't have a lot of time. Give us your pick in the Pacific Classic.
Well, I definitely like The Usual Q-Tip. I know that Richard's Kid is the horse to beat, but Mike Smith hasn't been on it since last year, so I think that that's definitely going to affect him. I like The Usual Q-Tip, and I would just key it with Dakota Phone and Alson Jim. I think they definitely can do something on this race.
God, I'm in trouble here with my two picks, everybody. Everybody's going somewhere else. Toby, We know you like Richard's Kid, and we know you give Hollendorfer a big shot in that race. Race number 9 is a mile grass race. These have been fun races down here. Full field of horses. Scratch in the 13 for Barry Abrams, Sandy Cheeks. Can you give us the winner of race number 9?
I think it might be my good buddy Mike Mitchell, who's got the one horse in here. This one's for you. Speaking of Candy Ride, here's a Candy Ride filly that's already stamping some promise here for the connections. She's a runner now. She'll get a class test, but I will use number 1. This one's for you. I will use number 10, Ashy, for Jeff Mullins and Garrett Gomez in town. I haven't talked about that. And then a big long shot bomber for me is number 7, Warren's High Roller. So 1-7-10 for me in the 9th race.
Donald, how about you, buddy?
I'm going to keep it simpler. I think it's a free square. Use the 1. I think she should have won her last race. She's a gamer. She wants to compete. She wants to race. And I think she's going to run a big race and win.
Well, she's a Candy Ride, and you guys are really killing me. You know, I mentioned I have 4 straight winners on DMTC.com. Go to the handicapping page. And today I'm going for number 5 with Sandy Cheeks, who scratched in. And I think she comes out of by far the best race at this distance or at this trip, 2 turns on the grass. Totally agree that the 1 is possibly the horse to beat. And Candy Ride out of a Devil Is Due mare should get the distance. Astrid, we're going to the race number 10, the Grade 1 Pat O'Brien. Any thoughts?
Well, definitely, I think it's going to be an interesting race. We have a couple of horses that can do something. One of them, I think, is Crown of Thorns. I think that horse definitely is going to do something very nice on the track, and he can definitely win.
Well, that's the 2-1 favorite. And Toby, everybody's going to ask the same question. This horse has only had 6 lifetime races. You've watched him train since he's gotten down here. He's got a bullet in tow, 3 back, a 111 flat workout, and a couple 7/8 of a mile. My good buddy Charlie Stutz would tell me Dick Mandela's got this horse ready. Do you see him as the horse to beat, and who do you like today in the Pat O'Brien?
Yeah, I see him as the horse to beat, and next weekend show going to be a blockbuster. Let's have a giant day today. This 50, don't be afraid to just add horses. That's why we have the 50 cent pick 4. We can put all these horses in, but just so happened that when Crown of Thorns worked out here at Del Mar, Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, who we hope to have on next weekend, came behind me and said, did I read my watch right here? I mean, did he really just do this? I said, yes, you did, sir. Let's hope it means something when it counts.
It sounds pretty simple. Donald, how about you? I mean, Crown of Thorns has the class. He got beat in the Breeders' Cup Sprint by a nose by Dancing in Silks, who's ready to make his return at the end of this meet. You've got a horse like El Brujo, who got used to the Del Mar surface and maybe not the best trip last time. Smiling Tiger won the Bing Crosby. Any thoughts, Donald Harris?
Yeah, I'm singling Crown of Thorns. I just think he's the best horse in the race, and if he runs his race, he's going to win. But I'm also going to play the exotics, because there's an interesting horse in here who doesn't really fit on paper. He was up for $25,000 2 races back from the barn of Carl O'Callaghan. But this Leaving New York is absolutely coming out of his skin right now. He turned in a 45-4. I actually had 23 flat, 46 flat, going out 58-2. Right in company with Kinsale King, and he was holding his own.
Whoa.
So when a horse is doing as well as that, I can't ignore him. And he should, the 12-1 morning line, I'm guessing he's going to float up. So I'm going to use him in the exotics and hope he doesn't show his form on paper and he steps up.
Okay, guys, lightning round continues. We got to do this quickly. California Nectar, 8-5 favorite off his big race over the track for very nice guy Pablo Suarez, Doug O'Neill. First to you, Toby, and then Donald. I know you're watching Neil Drysdale. I don't know if you like him training over there. Toby, can we beat the 8-5 favorite?
Well, if he repeats, if she repeats that race, she deserves to be the favorite for the meet's leading trainer. Jeff Bondi, number 2 horse, Little Tahoma, might be an interesting horse there at a big number. And I want to give a shout-out to a guy who is a big part of keeping the game going on many different levels, Dennis DeCower. I believe his Black Diamond Racing owns the number 11 horse, Tinner's Bride. What a beautiful little filly she is in color, beautiful gray little horse. So it might be tougher than it looks.
What about Von Nez, Eric Krujak's baby sister, Lynn Nez? She had that trouble behind the gate and got scratched out of the stake. The fact that he put her in the stake.
She's got no chance, Larry.
Okay, she's scratched. Okay, thank you, guys. I should have seen it. I have the program right here. Hey, Donald, 7-2 on the line. There's a horse out of Barrett's trained by Neil Drysdale with bullets in the holster. What do we do with this guy with P-Val or this girl?
Yeah, since I'm single in the previous two races in the 9th and the 10th, I'm definitely going to go a little deeper in the last, and the Drysdale filly is definitely someone to use. It's not your typical Drysdale pattern because he has not taken it easy with her. He's kind of turned her loose in the last few drills, you know, a stiff blowout in 34 and change. And then that last gate drill was with a another first-time starter that's going to be running tomorrow, Point Mugu. And she logged a 22-4 final quarter, and that can't be ignored coming into her debut. And I also throw in the Mike Pipey, Pleasing Sunrise, who did not get a very good trip in the debut. She's gonna step forward.
Astra's nodding over there, Donald.
Okay, but I'll tell you what, those are the guys who do the work every morning. Their SoCal Works is sold on casetherace.com, as is my, God, my National Select is so hot, I can't even touch it right now. It's still sizzling from last night. But go on to casetherace.com, spend the money, you'll make money. It takes money to make money in this game, and we're allowing you to case the race, or all the races to we go over, and I'll tell you what, there's money to be made today, tomorrow, and hey, Toby, before we hit best bets, Rachel versus Life and 10, what do you expect tomorrow?
I'm just going to hope that Rachel takes the next step towards a big, big, huge day of history later on in the year, but I'm Rachel tomorrow, and I'm just hoping she wins.
Yeah, I'm looking for them to hook up and make it a race we'll all talk about and remember. Best bet time, Astrid, you're going to be in the paddock all day, so go find her. She's the girl on the camera showing you these horses and doing a great job. Do you have a best bet today?
Well, if we go to the first races, I think that on race number 3, I do really like a horse. I know it's going to be a difficult race because they're all maiden claiming, but I do like a horse which is called Pride of Wiltshire with Rosario on it. I do believe that horse definitely is going to do
Bob Hess starting to heat up. Thanks a lot, Astrid. Donald Harris, who does the work up at Hollywood Park when Toby's down here at Del Mar. And you're going to be busy with all those horses at Hollywood Park coming up. Donald, do you have a best bet for us today?
Yes, there's nothing that would make me happier than taking down Larry's win streak on DMTC, which is what I'm going to do today with the number 1 in the 9th race. This one's for you, Larry. You are going down.
Oh, I love when that happens. Toby Terrell, best bet time.
Well, I think the Travers, we all made it sound too easy at 8-1. Number 8, fly down for Nick Zito.
I'll tell you what, I said in my bet, I'm going for win number 5 in a row. I feel like Joe DiMaggio, even though I was more of a Mickey Mantle guy, kind of when I was born. But Sandy Cheeks, lucky number 13 in race number 9, is going to be my best bet. Now go to casetherace.com, buy our products, National Select, SoCal Works. We love everybody who loves horse racing. Show up today at Del Mar. Toby, any final thoughts?
I've got to get a quick giant word in. All you parents out there, if you've got kids today, you want them to have the time of their life, come to Del Mar. Go left at the admission, Camp Del Mar. The kids will have the time of their life. Get on out here to Del Mar.
This is the best we can do, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next Saturday for that big closing weekend. We are Case the Race Radio, and go to casetherace.com, and everybody show up at beautiful Del Mar because it's the 20th Pacific Classic. Should be a great race, and enjoy, everybody.